righty, we are set and ready to roll. Thank you to all of you for joining us. This is the MediaBits Power Hour, an educational opportunity to learn, to share new ideas, and to give you tools and resources that will help you win. We are delighted that you are here. This marks today our 200th educational program, going all the way back to 1995 when we first launched Power Hour, and the 60-plus ones that we've done together with Jed and MediaBids. MediaBids is a wonderful resource for you. I'm going to have Jed say some opening words in just a moment, but we do encourage you to take the time to learn more about MediaBids, look to see how you can partner with them, drive revenue, and positively win. As all of you are getting settled in, we encourage you to create a quiet space, whatever that takes. Close your office door, turn off your technology. Really find this hour together to be an opportunity to single task. The coach approach, rather than the training approach, is all about transferring knowledge. And the more notes that you're making and taking, the more that you will get from our working here together. So print off the three key points. We're going to be talking about advertising sales KPIs, which stand for key performance indicators, and we'll also be fielding your questions, some that we already have in-house and more that will come during the course of our program. Jed, how about some opening words to our group? And in advance, always a pleasure to be working here together. What's cooking in the world of MediaBids and in your world, and what's going on, man?
You know, just holiday-related stuff. Mm-hmm. Hard to believe it's here already.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot to Ernest. You know, as you'll find out, if you haven't been to our teleseminars before, Ernest is a wealth of information about sort of everything related to being successful in publishing. I always learn a lot from listening to him, and really appreciate all the time and effort he puts into getting these teleseminars prepared, and does a great job. Just really briefly, MediaBids is a print buying and selling service, and we primarily do it using online tools, but it's for print publications and primarily the ads that appear in print. We are big believers that print works very well, and we have many customers who believe the same thing. So if you're interested in learning more about us, if you'd like to find out how you can use us, or if you're currently using us, how you can use us better, or what we can do for you in addition to what we're currently doing, we'd love to hear from you. In the days that follow this teleseminar, we'll send out an email, and our contact information is on there. So thanks again for joining us, and thanks again to Ernest, and hopefully we'll hear from some of you.
Beautiful. And just so all of you know, I've had the opportunity to work with Jed and his team for years and years. They do business the old-fashioned way. They deliver on their promise. They know what they're doing. They're smart. They're savvy. They're wonderful partners. If you're working with them, you know that's true. And if you haven't had the opportunity, I please encourage you, go take a look at MediaBids.com, connect with their team, learn more about what they're doing. You will be very, very pleased. And the part when Jed says, about the success of print, make no mistake. They have unbelievable information. They have unbelievable support that validates the importance of print. Make no mistake, e-newsletters and websites and all those other pieces have a place in the media pie. But when you listen to the data that they have and the knowledge and expertise and the absolute definitive results that they can tell you about print, make no apologies ever for the work that you do. Be proud. I started in the print and publication space back in the mid-80s, and I have never wavered from that pride. But when you listen to Jed and their team and the knowledge that they have about ad results and the production of results, it is astoundingly positive. You can also go back on the MediaBids site. We have about 60-plus hours of programs, and there's a couple this year that Jed specifically walked through those trends and that data, and I encourage you to go back and listen to those at your convenience. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've worked in the media space since the mid-80s. I launched my company in 1995. This is my 18th year working with publishing and media and advertising teams throughout the world. I love advertising sales. It runs through my veins. We work with executive leaders and teams in order to help them win. We work with our advertising teams so that you can sell your company in the future at a premium. We help you with your sales strategies, your marketing strategies, your website SEOs, SEO, your recruiting endeavors, your investment banking at the end of the day when you're ready. We basically work with our clients from the earliest seeds of an idea through the growth, the maturity, and ultimately one day the sale of your publication and the media properties that you're invested in. I'm very pleased to share, and you'll see more information about this over the next week or two. For about 5 years, I was sharing with Jed at the beginning of our teleseminar here today that I have wanted to launch a sales academy specifically for advertising sales professionals. You will see more about it. It includes a weekly program that you're able to participate in, materials and information you'll get on a weekly basis, and it is all about helping you win. So our Power Hour Sales and Advertising Academy will begin over the next few weeks. You'll see more about it. And the only reason it's been on my drawing board for more than 5 years is we've been very, very busy and have not had a moment to take a breath and really put it all in place. But we are set and ready, and you'll see more about that soon. Our program today is focused on advertising sales KPIs. And we're going to talk about KPIs, which, by the way, stands. Some of you already sent questions in and asked about that. KPI stands for Key Performance Indicators. What are the key indicators that generate the success for you and your advertising sales team? We're going to talk about it then in the second part of our program here from a leadership point of view. For those of you who are leaders who are thinking about your role from a leadership point of view and what you need overall as a leader, and the other side, what you need to know about those who are running the sales team. Likewise, for those of you who are on the sales side, the third part of our program today, we're going to focus just on the sales side. So salespeople, we know we have a collection of you on that side. Listen closely to the KPI indicators we're going to be talking about to the leaders on our program, because that is going to give you more insight about what they're thinking about. Likewise, sales leaders, we want you to think about what we're going to be sharing with those on the sales side. So we're going to move back and forth over the line as we roll through the course of our program. Again, please be certain you make copious notes as we roll along, because the more that you take in terms of notes, the more that you will glean and the more that you will learn. So point number one, Jed, we promised to talk about advertising and leadership KPIs and why are they key to have and to monitor as the leader within your company. So key performance indicators keep us current with many of the fast-moving business trends. Now, Jed, I'm going to circle back here and date myself for just a second, because in the earliest days of the 80s, all I had to focus on was newspaper and magazines. Let's get real. That's all there was. Okay, so there's probably some direct mail. Database stuff wasn't even around unless you were a company like Xerox or IBM. You didn't have mainframes sitting in big air-conditioned rooms. You know, life was pretty good. And if you sold advertising, any of you that have sold advertising in those days, Jed, I don't know, some version of you kind of waited for the phone to ring. You know what I'm saying?
It couldn't have been that easy.
I think it was the world's biggest gravy train in the 80s. Oh, okay. Yeah, and you had Yellow Pages, too. And that was another gravy train, all right? Because you didn't have many choices. Hey, didn't I tell you? If the deadline was, you know, November 4th for your Yellow Page deadline and you missed it, you were out for the year. By the way, you still are today, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, that was a really, really big deal. In fact, your business didn't exist unless it was in the Yellow Pages, okay? So, you know, life was a lot simpler, you know. And then I was thinking about then the evolution. If we kind of just kind of bring it from there, then we started to see shopper publications, you know, the emergence of free publications. Always, of course, we've had paid, you know, publications on the other side. But we started to see the shopper publications. And then it went a little further. Jed, I was kind of trying to think about, you know, sort of the importance of KPIs, because it was easier then, and it relates to what we're going to talk about now, because it's tougher. We got to be smarter. We got to work harder today. But then after shoppers, then came some of the specialty publications. I think about sort of the auto trader kind of, you know, the auto publication, motorcycle, home sector, apartment sector, all the publications that we see as we go out the exit doors of grocery stores. You know, those specialty publications, we could agree there's senior publications. What are some of the other ones, Jed, that you've seen sort of in those genres?
I mean, it's really almost endless, you know, in terms of the niches. I mean, you know, everything from, you know, home to garden to, you know, any kind of specific interest group. You know, there's multiple publications for them.
Absolutely. And Jed, the barriers to entry were a lot different. You know, the earliest days, you needed a printing press, right, in order to even be in the game.
Right.
And then even in the shopper or specialty publication, you had to have the ability to what? Pay for printing. And to be able to foot that printer's bill, and I can remember many a day going, okay, on my left is my printer's bill, on my right are my ad dollars. How am I doing, you know?
Right.
And then you have to have to afford the postage for those of you who direct mail. Why am I bringing up afford? Because what does it take today in the world of the web to be up as a competitor? All of about, I don't know, $10 to launch a domain, right? $10, really, to launch a domain. The domain is up, and you're in the advertising business in some form or some format. And I think about the example, Jed, like, you know, Craigslist, right? I mean, what is Craigslist? You know,
Right. I mean, you know, other than a few servers, there's not a lot of infrastructure behind it.
Absolutely. Speaking of servers, it was a phenomenal article. For all of you in the media advertising space, if you are not today reading Wired magazine, I passionately encourage you. It's not written on the tech side. It's not just for the media, but it's the convergence of all that's happening in technology. Jed, I've read it for probably 15 or 20 years, and it is the absolute best read. I bring it up because it keeps me current on what's happening in the social media world, in technology, and it keeps me current. I like to cross-read so that I can stay current on those trends. And just so all of you know, this does relate to the KPIs. We're going to come back around the bend and get ties in. But, Jed, when you mentioned servers, there was a phenomenal article this month talking about the Google data centers and pictures of the data centers and the technology. I was like salivating. I don't know, maybe when I was a kid salivating over some, you know, beautiful new Mustang. But I was salivating over this article about, you know, Google data center. It was riveting to read about it, you know, what they're doing behind the scenes. So as all of you think about, you know, where we are today, why do we go all the way back, you know, to the earliest, simplest days? Because there were less choices. By definition, there's more going on. It's why your KPIs are that much more critical. That's what we're saying. The spirit of what we're saying is today is not what it was. Today we have competition coming from everywhere. Twitter, blog, social media, texts, you know, e-newsletters, website, SEO, Google ads, all of the print publications we've ever had. The point is that it's a moving target. And by the way, it's overwhelming for your advertisers, because instead of them having 3 or 4 or 5 decisions to make, they might have 50 or 500. So just so you know, they're not having that much fun on that side of the table. Just so you know, it's your role and your responsibility. You've heard us say in prior programs, if it's to be, it's up to me. You are the world's expert in your niche, in your publication, in your media choices, your media selection. You are the expert, and only you can educate. And only you can share the differences, the side-by-side comparisons, the cost per thousands, the tracking numbers, all of the things that you know, only you can make that distinction. And you can take the chaotic and you can boil it down very simply for your advertisers. But unless you're doing that, or if you're not able to do that, you're not having fun on the ad sales side, because you're just one of those 50 or 500 choices. And that's not a fun place to be. That's not a cue ball you want to be behind. So that's the reason why KPIs are so important. And then KPIs, let's bring that back around, because it also means that our margins are tighter. We have tougher decisions to make today that are moving that much faster. So taking our KPIs into a dashboard, we've run prior teleseminars about dashboards, and you can go back and listen to those at your convenience or on the MediaBid site. But your dashboard or your summary of your KPIs, it's where we now take our KPIs and roll them in, and we look at daily stats and weekly stats. We compare this month, to last quarter, to the same month last year, where there's seasonality trends. Jed, we were doing some work with some of our SEO clients last week. We were looking at some of the data. We were looking at the last 90 days this year compared to last year, inbound call activity up 39%. We looked at last month compared to that same month last year, and activity and leads were up 35%. We looked at this month compared to last year, inbound leads up 65%. Now, for all of you listening to that, you go, huh? Like 65%? Well, the first piece is you've got to have a model, much like MediaBids, by the way, uses and will work with you on, but you have to have a model where you're tracking every click and every form and every phone call and every keystroke, every step of the way, so that you can validate and justify the work you're doing. But coming back to KPIs, that's where you're measuring it. How many inbound phone calls did your advertisers have this month? Take one of your advertisers. Can you look at every single month over the last 9 months or 12 months? How about seasonality? How about the last 90 days of this year compared to the last 90 days of last year? This is the kind of data that you need from a from the KPI side and fed into a dashboard. So leaders on one side, you need it to lead. By the way, how do I know 65, 39%, 35%? Because I'm part of that dashboard. I'm looking at the dashboard of my own clients and the success that they're enjoying and what's happening as a result. I'm drinking my own Kool-Aid. I never, ever coach or share information that I don't do directly myself for my company or for and with my clients. And likewise, you want and need to do the same, and we encourage you to do so. Hence the importance of a dashboard and how that all feeds in. A dashboard also feeds in performance compared to last year, year-to-date, compared to budget, and so forth. I also want to say to leaders that when you go to sell your company, your KPIs, the performance of them, and how you feed it into your dashboard is a direct reflection of the premium you're going to be paid for your publication, your media activity, your advertising revenues, and all that you have going on. And I can say that with supreme confidence because that's a division of Power Hour. We go out and help our clients grow their biz, add more people, compete more aggressively, build sales academies so that our clients can be the best that they can be and always have a competitive advantage. And as all of you know, we never work with competing publications, either in the same genre, or the same sector, or by geography. So there's never a concern that we're helping your competitor across the street or around the world who's calling on the same clients. It's a very important part. But just recognize that when you go to sell your company, and we understand that because we do that for our clients, these pieces matter. Hence the other reason why your KPIs fed into a dashboard tie in. And lastly, the idea of, and we have some questions related to this, the idea of the KPIs and what to do with them. We'll talk a little bit more specifically about where to record and where to post and what to do and so forth, okay? Jed, as you listen to me talk about dashboards and KPIs, what things are sort of rattling around in your mind?
You know, one question I have that probably some people, other people have is, when you're talking about KPIs, are they usually specifically the numbers that are generated by you and your company, or are you also looking at external KPIs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, you know, are you looking at, some of the, some of the overall advertising spend numbers that come out, or maybe there's some unrelated metrics that, that make sense?
No, you're absolutely right. It's a great question. Most measuring of KPIs is about studying what's happening in our world and understanding what those trends are. But where and when we have trends, and I'm going to talk about this in the next part of our teleseminar. I'm going to talk about market share and market penetration because we're going to talk about competitors. So it's really sort of three bullseyes. The tightest bullseye is we have to study and look at what's happening in our media, inside of our company, and all those KPIs that revolve around that. That's the heart. Then we've got one ring, and we study closely the competitors, and it's really, really important information that we can glean from that. And then the third is what you're talking about, which is to look at the overall industry. You know, what can we glean from the industry? What data can we pull in from the various reporting organizations that tell us about our sector? But sometimes those rings can be tough to bring it back internally. It's good. It's sort of like saying the wind is blowing due north, but in your particular media world, is it blowing, a lot, a little, or not so much? Is the temperature hotter or colder? You still have to kind of draw into your own internal company in order to look closely at those KPIs. Okay? Make sense?
Yep.
Okay. But before we go into point number two, we got a question from Mark who asks, would KPIs be different for a very small company versus large companies? And so, Mark, I'm going to give you sort of a yes and a no, okay? Yes, they're even more critical because a small company, you can't afford to make mistakes, okay? You don't have the cash reserve. You don't have the revenue opportunities. You don't have the lines of credit. You don't have a global footprint. I mean, if we play all the way out in the world, of media and advertising, so small companies need this even more. And I have literally worked with companies that are, honestly, a husband and wife, team, working across the kitchen table, and I've worked with and have clients that are billion-dollar groups that are publicly held. Okay, so I can comfortably say that the small and large, the yes to the and the no to that, No, you don't have to track as much as a large company does because you don't have as many moving parts. But there are positively 6, 7, 8 key KPIs that you positively need. And as we roll through our program here today, you'll hear me call them out as we work. We're going to do leadership first and then sales second. So, Mark, if you have additional follow-up questions, just let us know on that, and we'll work and weave that in. Let's talk about the point number two that we promised to cover from a leadership point of view. What are the important KPIs that you want to measure and that you want to track? Okay? So, absolutely, our revenue. I mean, revenue makes the world go round. And that's the very top line. But honestly, that's where, frankly, many companies stop or maybe go a layer or two deeper. And you're going to hear about 10 or 12 or 15 layers deeper here today. But revenue, no doubt. What are the trends on your revenue? What is the percent that's coming from your largest advertisers? Why is it going up? Why is it going down? How does it compare to budget? How does it compare to seasonal trends? Okay, everything related to the revenue piece is an obvious for our KPI. And most companies do a pretty good job. By the way, if you're not tracking this and looking at the trends on these KPIs, this has got to be a starting point. But please do not stop there. Even the best companies that we've worked with over the last 18 years have said, well, we capture this and this and then that, and that's about it. Well, capturing is one thing. Developing it into a trend analysis and then knowing what those trends mean is also important, but you don't get enough, in my opinion, in our opinion, you don't get enough information just from the rev line because it doesn't tell you about the underbelly. In fact, we'll talk a little bit later about, you know, what does revenue tell us when you're a growing company, a startup company, or a mature company, and there are different things that you're looking for. Certainly, our KPI is related to, and this is all about the ratio. The ratio and the percent to revenue is your fixed expenses. Fixed expenses, rents, leases, utilities, equipment, vehicles. What is that ratio of that to revenue? Okay, and watching to see how that is trending for you and your organization. Okay, and then we have the other side. We have those things that are not fixed. Those are the more variables like wages, commissions, healthcare, technology, all of the other things that we can choose. Do we do more of A and less of B? Do we do more of B but a little less of C but a lot more of D? All those decisions behind the scenes. Are we staffing up or not? How are we deploying technology? Are we gaining the leverage? Are we utilizing SEO? What else are we doing with, you know, our CRM, our sales databases? All of those efficiencies behind the scenes. And by the way, whether you're a small company or a large company, you can gain all kinds of leverage from technology, from our e-newsletters, our social media, Twitter, blogging, Facebook, depending on your strategies, LinkedIn. And for those of you that will be folding into what we're doing at the Sales Academy, every single week we'll be taking one of those and focusing on one of those. So you'll be able to learn more about that, and you'll be able to listen to what we have to say at your own time and convenience, and then be able to come open mic and field questions related to that. So very, very, lots and lots of ways to leverage that. But we're looking for the ratio of these expenses to the revenue. And, of course, Jed, the big one is the print, right? I mean, you know, what is our print run? What is our print bill? What is our postage on the other side? What is the ratio of that to our budget, ratio of that to our revenue? What are those strategic decisions that we are making on the print and postal side, depending on, or even the newsstand on the sales side? All of these KPIs tie into from a leadership point of view. Sort of think about all the keys on a piano. I don't play the piano, so Jed, for me, they just look like black and white keys, but for you, if you're masterful with the piano, they represent music. And KPIs are the music of leadership in the advertising sales world. You need to know inside of your organization, and this is where we've had a lot of questions from many of you that have said, what are the most important KPIs? What goes on every KPI report? And this is where we say in reverse. Look, we've built and worked with clients on more than 2,000 KPI reports and dashboards, tying them together, and every single one is unique and different, like a fingerprint, because every single publication, media team, sales organization that has websites, e-newsletters, publications, newsstand sales, direct mail, B2B, B2C, everybody has their own unique. But what's important is you challenge yourself to make certain your KPIs link into your dashboard and serve you well from a leadership point of view. Jed, any comment on that about, you know, this whole idea of ratios to, from, you know, revenue to fixed versus variable expenses?
No, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, what would you, do you think for most publications the largest single expense is the printing expense or salary?
Yeah, you know, they're both big. It depends. A lot of variables, you know, and this is where we kind of go into three buckets. If you're brand new, you've got a pretty significant print bill that could easily be 60-70% of your revenue, and you don't have much on the sales side because, you know, it might just be a startup. You go to the other end of that rainbow where you've got something very mature that's been around for 10, 20, 30 years that controls 30, 40, 50% of the market share and market penetration. You actually can run with less sales. You might have brought some of your printing into the e-newsletter or website. You've maybe made some strategic decisions there. So, you know, honestly, there's not a magic bullet or a magic formula. What we always start by doing is saying, look, let's go back through the last 36 months of financial reports. And from that, let's see where we've been so then we can project the next 36 months going forward. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, it's really, this is one that I'm always asked for, like, you know, what's the formula? One plus one equals two, and I go, I wish it were that easy, but let's get rolling, and we're going to go through, just like we're talking about here, we go through this process, and then from that come the KPIs, then we work on the frequencies, and then we work on the reporting, and then rolling that into a dashboard. And so it's kind of a step-by-step process to get from the KPIs, then the frequency that we're going to measure them, and then fold it into a dashboard with an at-a-glance of what, you know, we want to know at our fingertips. Did you have a follow-up comment or question on that?
No, I mean, you know, I think, it's interesting because, you know, you probably could, and you probably get into this as we go on, but, mm-hmm. you know, you probably could have, you know, a KPI, you know, those who sort of follow a sales team probably do this on an individual basis, you know, on a daily or weekly or monthly basis. You know, so your KPI may have something to do with, you know, your overall, not just sales, but effectiveness of different employees.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you kidding me? That falls right into, you know, ad tracking results, right, and tracking of performance. And that really is kind of a nice segue sort of into the next, you know, the next portion is, you know, we start to look at what is happening with our sales performance. You know, what are the net gains that we are growing our biz? And then we break it down by rep. Now, just to clarify, a leader of a company can have a KPI and a dashboard that measures one thing. And then if I'm the VP of sales, some of that might cross over. My leadership and my VP of sales might cross over. But if I'm the VP of sales, I've got specific KPIs and specific reports and dashboards that feed up from sales performance. And then if I'm a salesperson, then I'm feeding my own KPIs into my own dashboard so I know I'm accomplishing what my VP wants and therefore my owners. So this whole process rolls up and rolls down. It rolls back and forth. And frankly, for those of you that are joining us that are sales leaders, I don't care. I'm going to speak to the salespeople for just a moment. I don't care if your company at this moment doesn't have their KPIs in alignment or their dashboard or it's rolling up or down. What I care is if it's to be, it's up to me. What I care is that you're here. You're hearing this, and I'm going to challenge you to develop your KPIs and your own dashboard. Please do not wait for your company to arrive, and don't think because they're not producing it that it's not valuable for you. That's just my call out to you because you're a sales leader because by definition, you're here listening to this program. And all the rest of your competitors are, you know, hanging out at Starbucks or at the beach today or maybe on the ski slopes depending on where you are in the world. So let's talk a little bit more. Renewals. From a leadership point of view, what's happening with our renewal expiration reports is a really, really big deal. So your KPI would be something like how many renewals are happening this month. It rolls up into what are our renewal percentages, what were the increases, what went in, what went out, and that whole net gain activity. If you're the VP of sales, you can roll it up and down looking at all of your publications, websites, e-newsletters, and you can look at individual performance. Okay? Let's also talk about market share, market penetration. Market share is the total number of potential pages of advertising that could be sold. Market penetration measures the other side, how many total pages in the market being sold by you plus other competitors. So just again to understand, if there were 1,000 potential full pages, you want to know what percentage of that you're getting. But at this moment, if you have two other competitors, plus you and only 300 pages have been sold against 1,000, what percent are you of the 300? Market penetration versus market share. Okay? Very important distinction, and this is a beautiful KPI and an important one, and I can tell you that if you ever want to know one of the most interesting conversations that happen on the day you're ready to sell your company is this conversation, because a savvy buyer is going to do this analysis. That's why we advise you to do it now, so you know where you stand. So the question becomes, how come there's 1,000 total pages out there and we're only getting 100? How come there's three competitors and one has, you know, 50 pages and the other has 150 and we only have 100? You have to ask yourself that, because if you don't ask it now, on the day today that you're ready to sell your company, you can't go back and spool strategies you didn't deploy 10 years ago. Buyer's going to say, sorry, you know what? We thought we were going to pay you a premium, but in fact, you really only represent 22% of the market. It's not enough. We retract our offer. And you're going to go back to the drawing board and go, wow, what did we miss? We've been in business for 40 years. Yeah, you did, but you've been in business, but you weren't focusing on the prize of what a buyer thinks about. They want to know how much you dominate that space. It's a very important piece. Tied to sales. Sales leaders is an ad drop report. We've done an entire teleseminar about ad drop reports, so I'm not going to capsule an hour program here. Just know that that's another important KPI. Your competitors. How many pages went up? How many went down? How many went in? How many went out? Same with e-newsletters. Same with website. Okay?
So, Ernest, let's talk. These aren't all figures that you would try to come up with on a daily basis, for example. Some of these are going to be monthly. Some of them might be quarterly, and some might be daily.
You're absolutely right. Let's take something like market share, market penetration. Mm-hmm. You can do those quarterly. Let's talk about ad drop. For me, ad drop matches the cycle of my publication. So, if, for example, if I'm a weekly and my competitors come out weekly, each week I want an ad drop report. I want to know, as fresh as the milk coming into the grocery store, I need to know what happened this past week. If I'm a monthly, likewise. If I'm a quarterly. And by the way, this ad drop, and you remember, Jed, when we did this program, this is a high school student project. You know, you hire a bright high school student that comes in every Wednesday or once a month. On the first of every month, they grab the competitors, they do the analysis, and they spit it out on the second. I mean, this is not the kind of work that you give your salespeople. This is not the kind of work you even give your admin people. Okay, and the frequency you're talking about, yes. But something like, I mean, while we're talking about KPIs, I mean, how about something like cash reserve? Or how about something like collections? For some companies, that's a daily look. And certainly, it's a weekly look. It falls right here in this leadership view. It falls right into KPIs, key performance indicators. It ties right into the dashboard that you want to see weekly, at the very least, related to the financial component of your biz. How much rolled out over 30 days? How much is out over 60 days? How come collections this quarter is, you know, $100,000, you know, over last year? Right? It tells you about the health and wealth of your biz on the financial side.
And you should avoid making the mistake I made, which I probably made after one of your teleseminars a few years ago, and that is, you know, building the world's most beautiful dashboard with all of the data that, you know, I could possibly imagine needing on a daily basis. You know, then only to sort of realize that it was going to take me about 9 hours a day.
I love that. But you know what I love? I love the fact that you deployed it, but you are right. You have to get real.
Right.
You know, we're talking about today the library of KPIs, but for all of you, what you're hearing from Jed is you got to get real and go, but bring it down. You know, Jed, I like to look at it like the dashboard on a car. How much information do I need? How much is too much information?
Right.
For example, do I need to know I have oil or not? Yes. Do I need to know exactly the temperature? No. And I certainly don't need to know the grade of oil, but I do appreciate when the light comes up that says change your oil.
Right.
Right? And that's the kind of thing that a dashboard does. It says, green light, let me see. I've got gas, so I can drive. Whoops, the light came on. I don't have as much as I thought. Whoops, I'm sitting on the side of the road. If you don't put your KPIs in place, if you don't feed a dashboard, the same happens for your business. But can I tell you, it happens faster, and it can be painful. And in the downturn over the last couple of years, it's caused companies that have really been around a long time to close their doors because they didn't have a dashboard in front of them. So you can take all of what we're sharing, you can boil it down to the three or the four or the five, and if that works well, then you might add one more or two more. So make no mistake, this is not having about, you know, Jed, the world's greatest dashboard. It takes 9 hours a day to update. So thank you for sharing that. And as we're rolling along, if any of you have questions, please just send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com or just reply to the confirmation and we'll work and weave those in because I've got a question on tap from William that I want to weave in here. Two more pieces related to leadership KPIs. Also look at, and you heard me say earlier, and Jed, I mean, this is like right in your sweet spot in your wheelhouse. I mean, what is the status of ad results? You know, what do you know about the ads that are out there, the number of clicks, prospect forms that are being filled out, number of phone calls? What do you get daily, weekly, monthly that you can roll up and that you can have a visual? Jed, I know that this is near and dear to all of what you do around, you know, your media bid arena, yes?
Right, yeah. I mean, there's you can really go overboard with this stuff, but as I've described that I have at times. But one of the things which is really interesting to look at is how many calls are being produced by, and we use calls a lot, but it could be anything. It could be clicks or anything. But how much results are you getting on each day in aggregate across all advertisers? Because what you find is that there's some really interesting trends, you know, that like Monday, Tuesdays tend to be really hot days in terms of response, whereas, you know, later in the week it tails off. So you can really kind of get a sense for kind of what's happening out there, which can at times sort of educate you about, you know, sort of anticipating results. So, you know, An ad that's running on a Monday is likely to get more response than an ad running on a Thursday. If it's a daily, you know, even in a weekly context, you know, an ad that's been out for a while will still get more response on, you know, earlier in the week than later in the week. But, you know, just stuff like that, you know, I find is helpful quite a bit. But you know, keeping track of one of the things we do a lot of is we keep track of the average call length that is occurring with our advertisers, because we find very often that's a really quick thing to look at, but it tells you a lot about whether or not there's a phone problem, whether or not there's a, you know, a problem with, you know, at the business, you know, maybe they're not answering. You know, companies that we didn't have any idea would be affected by, for example, the recent storm. We were able to see really quickly, like the next day, geez, you know, they got 25 calls yesterday, but they're not answering any of them. So, you know, we gotta figure out something to do, you know, to try to make it so that, you know, they don't lose all these customers. It's just those are two things that we look quite a bit at, and it just sort of is a way of keeping track on a daily basis. You know, the other thing that happens very often is that you're able to, and there's nothing better than this, as far as I'm concerned, you know, in the world of print, right, is to be able to call up an advertiser and say, hey, you had a really good day yesterday. you know, I'm just looking at the dashboard, and, you know, obviously, you know, I don't know how many sales you made out of it or anything, but, man, it looks like you had a really good day yesterday. You know, the ad we ran for you generated, you know, 45 calls. You know, tell me what happened. Because doing that stuff in sort of real time really, I find, just keeps the advertisers happy. And in retrospect, you know, and the exact opposite is true as well, is to be able to call someone up the day after an ad comes out and say, hey, look, you know, the early returns are not good. We need to make some changes for the next time. You know, being on top of it like that, being able to see what the results are, you know, right away, you know, the day it's happening in some cases, or even the day after, or even a couple days after, just, you know, it helps you get ahead of the curve, you know, and helps you, you know, shows the advertiser that you're really, you know, on top of it, and you're as disappointed as they are. You know, it may not be your money, but you're disappointed, and so you wanna work with them to make sure the next time they run it, it does better.
Yeah, I love that, and Jed, that's so spot on. And listen, as you're listening to Jed speak about this, you're listening to, you know, an industry sage, an industry icon. I cook my turkey with thyme and sage, but you are a sage of our industry. Yeah. Don't get me started.
Let's not get carried away. The important thing is, right, that, and not, and this is a little bit off the subject, but you should keep in mind that a lot of the KPI stuff we're talking about here, that Ernest is talking about, mm-hmm. and that I just mentioned, this is what, you know, what we're thinking of as KPI, right? This is information which is all available to advertisers through AdWords, right? So it may seem to us in the print industry like it's something which is, you know, unique and exotic, and some of the stuff that Ernest is talking about, you know, for your, you know, on more of a overall view of your business, obviously has nothing to do with AdWords, but the sort of the individual performance of an ad, right? That stuff, which, you know, I believe anyway, print has got to supply to its advertisers if it expects to compete, because they're getting it from everywhere else, and it's so commonplace, you know, in the online world, that to not have it really is a disadvantage. I'm not suggesting that you all go out and, you know, build the equivalent of AdWords for your advertisers, but even just having someone in your office look at it and keep track of it, and then reach out to the advertiser every once in a while and update them on how it's going, you know, is goes a long way towards sort of getting to the same place.
Yeah, if I can just dovetail behind what Jed just said, what he's saying, you know, if you look at every publication in the automotive, real estate, apartment space, every one of those, every single advertiser, dedicated tracking line, knows every single click that happened, for every single search of the site, for every single form that was filled out as a lead. I mean, those three, Jed, I mean, have it down cold. So just recognize there are certain sectors that just do this like it's breathing. And by the way, it's been going on for a decade, 10 plus years. They're actually mirroring the best practices of what the Googles are doing out there and what we're talking about today. So if you find yourself pausing and going, wow, you know, this feels like bleeding edge, or gee, you know, do I really need this? No. You have to have the things that Jed is talking about. And the marketplace, and when we talked about, you know, advertisers in the 80s and 90s having three choices and five choices, my gosh, I mean, the work that you did mainly with your biggest advertisers, you took them out to a nice lunch or dinner every month. I mean, those days are so gone. You're one of 50 or 500 choices you have got to have. He or she with the most information wins, just to capsule what Jed is saying here. Let me touch on one more key point, and then we're going to shift onto the other side, which is from a sales point of view. Just one more quick point from a leadership perspective. You need to be on top of what's happening with your website. You want on your part of your KPIs is what's happening with your Google Analytics, what's happening with your unique visitors, and what is happening with your website visibility, score, and rankings, and you need to feed that in every 30 days. Talk about, and just to wrap this up on the leadership side, talk about getting a premium for your company on the day you're ready to sell it. This is huge. When we build a story in a binder, and the tabs that go directly to the electronic side, let me tell you something, we live in this space. People in your database, updates on your database, e-newsletters, readership views, websites, Google Analytics, inbound calls, website rankings, there is an electronic footprint that you have got to be able to walk and talk. And you need that, and buyers expect that. If you want to sell your company for a premium, you have to do it today. I don't care if you're never going to sell your company, or I don't care if you're going to have a liquidity event in 5 or 10 years, or in 5 days or 5 months, you must have a tab that talks about the electronic side. If not, you will sell your company, but nobody will write a check for a premium. I want to weave in a question. Bill asked a question that ties into number 2. Can you recommend any dashboard software for KPIs that are easy and affordable? And William, we've seen, the largest systems and the smallest systems. We've seen companies that do it on a Word doc, companies that do it in Excel, being very traditional. I'm very comfortable with, KPI and dashboard reports that weave into an Excel doc. I have seen it driven out of software like Salesforce, pulling from the CRM tools on that side of the house and some of those measurables, and I've seen very customized big roll-up systems. I've also seen, though, I want to just insert, William, the reason I liked your question is because I also want to share with all of you, and we did an entire program, Jed, years ago about can your walls sell, all about what goes on your walls, how to work your walls, and the visuals, because I want all of you to know that if you ever walked into, in my corporate days, my conference rooms, they were filled. Every square inch of the walls were filled. You could come to one wall and see the status of your top 10 clients. You go to the next wall and see the status of all the renewals. You go to the next wall and see who we were chasing, who are our top 10 prospects. Everything was color-coded by the salesperson, the sales rep, and the performance. It was a show place, and that's another way to take your KPIs and bring them to life. Don't just leave them on a spreadsheet tucked on a screen. Take every square inch of your sales offices and put up the KPIs that you're most focused on with your salespeople. And that, Jed, is probably the segue into the third part of our program here today, because let's talk about KPIs from a sales point of view, okay? Salespeople, sales professionals that are on our call, thank you. We applaud you for being here because you are the leaders, once again, because you're here thinking about how to succeed and be more successful. So the kinds of things that you want to be tracking individually and independently, let me first say that with your company, if they're rolling KPIs and dashboards up, then you need to have them roll in, and you need to be tracking individually what mirrors what your VP is looking at and what your corporate's looking at. So make no mistake, I don't want you working in a vacuum or working off to the side. You have to be in alignment, okay? But if it's not happening, or even if your company is wanting to measure 3 things, it's okay if you measure 6, because you want to be the absolute best that you could possibly be. So here come a handful of things that will help you. Obviously, your top 10 clients. What's the status? And by the way, there's nothing magic about 10. You might have 5, you might have 25. But, who are your top 10%, that are spending the most, okay? Kind of the bell curve. We know we have the top 10%. Then there's kind of everybody in the middle, and then there's just that lower portion, okay? So what's happening with them? Dollars going up, dollars going down. What happened this year? What happened last year? What are you anticipating going forward for next year? These are the key indicators for you. It should give you a pulse of where you are. By the way, you can also dovetail that right into your commissions, right, and your compensation, and that helps you do some planning financially what the implications are. You also just heard me say, talk about the walls that sell, right? Who are your top 10 prospects? Or who are the top 10%? Who are they? Where are they? And what are we doing? I see this as a massive opportunity, but frankly, when I get working with new advertising teams and we get to talking about this, I don't hear a good enough game plan. Who are they? Why are they on the list? And key piece, and what are you doing every 30 days to move that relationship forward? Is it an email? Is it a voicemail? Is it a webinar invitation? Is it a gift with a nice marketing note? Is it that you're going to join a committee on an association where that person is? Is it you're going to develop a strategic alliance to gain an advantage so that you can go to those top 10 and tell them that you've got better CERC or better distribution or a better channel than the competitors that they're currently working with? You have got to always work on, just make a note here, on your USP, your unique selling proposal or proposition. That's what it's all about with the top 10. And by the way, it trickles down. If you do a really, really good job securing and deciding who those top 10 are and you start to bring those on board, then guess what? The next 10 and the next 10 and the next 10 also come on board. Very, very important part. Sales leaders, by the way, that are on this call, please, this is your daily march. Daily, you have to think about. When I get above the noise of all the other things going on, what am I doing as a leader to position my sales team so that they can dominate the space? And by the way, sales leaders, I completely only work with one company by geography or in a sector because I only have one strategy, which is called win all the bacon. I want every single competitor removed. I want to trounce every competitor in my way, and I don't want my buyers to have 50 choices. I want them to have me. Selfishly, I want to put my other competitors out of business, out of arm's reach, and I want my story to be so compelling that nobody can touch what I've got. That is your quest, and that is your challenge, to help the salespeople so they can go sell more of these top 10 prospects. Let's talk just a little bit about some of the sort of basic things, sales professionals. I mean, what is happening with your sales activity and your sales calls? What is happening with your number of presentations? What are your expectations? Some of you have quotas on a weekly basis driven by your company. Great. Take that number and add another 50% or double that number. Literally. You want to be a rock star and your company says, look, I need 10 presentations a week. You ask yourself, how do I get 15? But am I really playing for 20? And if that's my KPI, then where's my dashboard? Tomorrow's Friday. What did I accomplish this week? How many presentations did I get? And then did I feed that back up to my VP or my owner or my president to let them know the progress I made this week, this month, this quarter, and this year? If you want to be a rock star, the only people we work with are those who want that. If you want to cruise and this doesn't matter to you, that's cool. Keep cruising. But for 18 years, the people we work with come to us to say, hey, I want 20 presentations. How do I get there? 10 doesn't cut it. And I want my compensation to double as well. That's what I'm playing for. Let's also focus on here related to our KPIs in this dashboard. I am a real believer in also learning why we didn't get the sale. You want to know how you really learn? You keep track of the presentations you made, your success ratio, and then learning the reasons that if you had 10 appointments and you sold 3, why did you not get the 7? And you feed that up to your VP of sales because that helps you do what? Focus on your USP because maybe you didn't get the 7 because you only have half the CERC or you only have half the quality of the distribution of your competitors and you can show your VP, I lost 7 sales this month, let me show you why. Or we only have half the SEO and the website visibility and we're getting trounced on the website side and it cost you 4 sales this month. So you see, that's why you keep track of that and you feed that up to your leadership team. Likewise, for those of you sales leaders, let me cross back over to the other side for a second. Sales leaders, this is also your piece. You want to know why sales are not happening because it will tell you, it'll point you to where you need to strengthen the USP for your sales team. Also, these are some things that we don't often think about. But if we think from a sales perspective, readers, and just write this down, readers equals revenue. There's a direct relationship. And let's talk about that. It starts with your database. How many people are in your database today versus last month, versus this month last year, over the last 24, 36 months? The database starts. It's the hub. Then it spokes out. How many readers are getting our newsletter? By the way, there's two kinds of newsletters. And in our Power Hour Sales Academy, we'll do a whole week just focused on newsletters for the readers. And the other side, we'll do a whole nother week for those getting newsletters who are our advertisers. But to be very clear, your readers should be getting a newsletter, and your advertisers and prospects should be getting a newsletter from you. The advertiser and prospect one is a sales-driven one. By the way, that does not mean it says, call us today for a special price. That's not what I mean. It has to come from education and knowledge, and in our academy we'll do more work related to that. And, by the way, Jed, I know we've also done programs on that. So anyone who would like to come back, there's full programs about newsletters. But just a capsule, how many newsletters went out to readers? How many readers, subscribers to that? How many newsletters went out in the last 6 and 12 months to our advertisers and prospects? How many people are on that? Take it a step further, LinkedIn. How many connections this month do I have? How many groups do I belong to? How many members? How many members? In LinkedIn, you can be part of 50 groups, and you can own 10. You can own 10. I have 52,000 leaders actually 53, Jed, this month. I'm sorry, by lunch today we should cross 53,000. 53,000, run the math, gang. That's a daily circ. I'm still in the circ biz. I got my distribution rocking. 53,000 people saw what I had to say before breakfast this morning. Many of you are in our publication one. You know what I'm talking about. And we work it, and we feed it, and we post to it. 53,000 a day, but there's no postage bill, and there's no print bill. What are you doing with your readers? What are you doing with your advertisers? How are you feeding them on a daily basis? Run the math on 53,000. What is that, 1.6, 1.7 million a month? I drink my Kool-Aid. My marketing engine looks like I'm a billion-dollar company because I need to show all of you what it looks like. Our group today, 53,000, is number 225 of 1.4 million in LinkedIn. We're proud of that. Okay? We know what we're doing in LinkedIn, and you likewise need to understand the revenue opportunity. This I have not found in a B2B any revenue from Facebook. B2C, yes, but if you're selling B2B, LinkedIn is where you have to be, and these are the key measurables. Also, how frequently are you updating your side-by-side comparisons? We run entire programs on side-by-side comparisons and what they do and how to measure and how to drive them. All you need to keep track of with your KPIs as a sales professional is, am I reviewing them and updating them monthly? That's a simple yes or no, but they have to be reviewed at least monthly. All right, and then lastly, ready for this? Keep track of your recommendations. Know how many testimonial letters you received this month. This should be an ongoing journey so that when you sit down and you're speaking face-to-face or meeting electronically with a potential prospect that you can say, listen, I've got 52 letters. In fact, come into my Power Hour website. I've got 166 pages of client success. Go click on my Ernesto Oriente, 132 recommendations. I have not sent back a proposal to a company who wants my services in the last 10 years that I didn't say, come into my Power website, and in the last 4 years that I haven't said, come into my LinkedIn profile. So letters of recommendation are sort of your tool belt. It's technically called social proof, and it's one of those unusual things that you wouldn't actually keep track of or think about, but it's important. You sell with that success. You sell with the case studies of before and after. You sell with your ad results that Jed was talking about earlier. All of those things matter. There is no silver bullet in advertising sales. Everything we cover today matters. Now, you have to ask yourself, like that piano, are they just keys or is there music? And only you can determine that. If it's to be, it's up to me. Okay? Jed, how about some closing words here as we approach the top of the hour?
Well, thanks again to Ernest. You know, I brought up a lot of good ideas that I certainly hadn't thought about. And thanks to all of you for joining us. We appreciate it. Let us know if you'd like to learn more about MediaBids. We're almost always available to answer your questions and tell you more about what we do.
Absolutely. And when he says almost always available, it means they're always available.
Late at night.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the key piece is that take the opportunity to learn about MediaBids. They love their work. They're proud of their work. They will share with you the success stories, and they know how to help you win. Jed, it's an absolute pleasure working together. We've worked together for many, many years. This year, as you know, was extra pleasure to connect with you personally and enjoy some nice time together in New York. I so appreciated that. To all of you, keep us coming. Keep the topics coming. Keep the questions coming. Keep inspiring us to help you, and we will bring you the very best in the world in terms of what we have cooking and what we see. And if we can't find it, we'll learn it. If we can't get it, we'll find it. We'll figure it out. We're smart. We've got great resources, and we'll bring them to you. And everything that we have is structured to help you absolutely win. I also encourage and hope that you will come join us. We'll send you an invitation to come join our Power Hour Sales Academy, specifically for advertising sales professionals. You will love it. It's weekly, about 12 to 15-minute opportunity to listen and learn on a principle of the week, and then another 15, 20 more minutes to come open mic. We'll share more of that with you over the next couple of weeks. Come join us. You will really love it, and it will help you absolutely win. Jed, an absolute pleasure, and we will be back working together again next year, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Thanks, Ernest.
Thanks, everybody. Make it a great day.
Bye-bye.